Well, joining me now in our Parliament House studio is our political editor, Alison Carabine. Alison, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Now, Alison, Julia Gillard had very little to say last night. She did offer a short statement as she left the PM's office. Let's have a listen to that.
Thank you. Can I confirm I will be a candidate in tomorrow's ballot? And apart from that statement, I haven't got any other statement at this time.
Do you believe you can be the Prime Minister?
Thank you.
Do you believe you can win, Ms. Gillard?
She didn't have much to say, and as I said earlier, I thought she looked quite traumatised as she emerged from that meeting. Does Julia Gillard have the numbers, Alison? Is that clear?
Yeah, it is quite clear, Fran. There are about 112 votes in play in the caucus room, and the numbers are falling about 70-40 Julia Gillard's way. Her support is cross-factional. The right have swung decisively behind Julia Gillard. Even Kevin Rudd supporters are quite openly admitting that they are on the losing side of this ballot.
Let's rewind a bit, because when this news broke on the ABC News last night at 7 o'clock, most Labor MPs were surprised by it, and most politicians in this House were glued to the television set to find out what was going on.
Well, Parliament House was a parallel universe last night, Fran. Now, Kevin Rudd spent a lot of time with Julia Gillard yesterday evening and late into the night. Their first meeting was at 6 o'clock, but it wasn't a leadership meeting. It was about asylum seeker policy. Chris Evans and Brendan O'Connor were also in the room. At about 6:45, Kevin Rudd left his meeting with Julia Gillard and he went to a drinks function here in Parliament House for Nick Sherry, marking 20 years in the Senate. And about 7:05, Nick Sherry was on his feet talking to Labor MPs, giving his speech when every mobile phone and BlackBerry in the room lit up. People alerting, staffers alerting MPs about what had just been broken on the ABC News, that factional leaders had been approaching, pleading with Julia Gillard across the day to challenge Kevin Rudd. At that stage, she wasn't for budging. She wasn't going to challenge the Prime Minister. Now, Kevin Rudd went straight back to his office with his staff, who were shell-shocked by this news that had just been delivered. He then went into another meeting with Julia Gillard. Now, this was a meeting of the Strategic Policy Group. It's a tactical group, a small cabal of very senior Labor people who work out party strategy. John Faulkner, Lindsay Tanner, Wayne Swan, Mark Abib, Carl Bitar, the National Secretary of the party, they were in this room. Now, this meeting had been in the diary for a couple of days, but it quickly morphed into leadership crisis talks and they were locked away for several hours.
And the atmospherics in the Parliament were incredible. It just reminded me of the Hawke Keating Challenge days. What drove the factional bosses to move today or yesterday, last night, Alison? Was it the fact that today's the last day of Parliament, therefore the last chance for a caucus vote before perhaps the election? Or was this always going to happen with some other trigger?
Yeah, well, they did have a trigger that quite handily for them appeared on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald. But it was going to have to happen by today. Today is an immovable deadline because Parliament rising for 8 weeks, all MPs spread to the four corners of the country. But that story, Sydney Morning Herald yesterday, that the Prime Minister had dispatched his Chief of Staff, Alistair Jordan, to take the temperature of the party room. Now, I'm hearing a couple of alternative versions here. Either Julia Gillard was infuriated because her loyalty was questioned, but more likely it was these factional leaders who have used that story to try and whip up anti-Rudd sentiment because they argue it questioned Julia Gillard's loyalty.
And the other thing I'm hearing too, Alison, is what Stripes described as them getting their hands on some very serious research, is how it's described, deeply disturbing party research, which is now accumulated. They say it's a cumulative thing, but they got some very recently too, some internal party research, some of it this week, which was very, very negative for the government. Deeply disturbing is how it was described to me, and which shows that the feeling towards Julia Gillard is much more positive. I mean, research, perhaps the tipping point?
Yeah, I think so. I think both the published polls and the private polling focus groups, all the feedback coming back is that Julia Gillard will have a better chance of winning the election, and that's what this all boils down to.
And it boils down to a caucus vote, perhaps delivering a change of Prime Minister. What happens at this challenge at 9 o'clock?
Well, there'll only be one item on the agenda, and that is the leadership ballot. I understand there'll only be the two candidates. It'll be Gillard v Rudd, so it should be over fairly quickly. Wayne Swan will be the new Deputy Prime Minister. There'll be time for both the victor and the vanquished to say a few words to the party room, and then we'll just return to business as usual. Parliament will sit, and we'll hopefully all get on with our lives.
Yeah, but you'd think we might have a very different feeling Labor Party at the end of it. it, because by 9:30 we'll either have a fatally wounded but still walking Kevin Rudd as Prime Minister, which I think is unlikely, as we've been saying, or a new leader in Julia Gillard. But we will have probably quite a traumatised Labor Party, I would imagine. I mean, they take these events very, very hard. One person's already described this to me as an horrific experience, a traumatic event.
Well, it will certainly be a divided party, and if Julia Gillard, gets the leadership, that will be her first task to heal the divisions. There's one thing this Labor Party does. It doesn't eat its young, but it eats its leaders at quite a regular basis. And there's an election looming. Julia Gillard, let's just presume that she does have those numbers and she will be Prime Minister. She's got a relatively short period of time, a short period of grace to try and regather everyone together and go out and win that election.
It does appear as though Julia Gillard has cross-factional support for this. I mean, it's been attributed mainly to the Victorian right and the New South Wales right, but there's certainly Victorian left support in there and support more broadly. One person who emerged very quickly last night as a public supporter of Julia Gillard was Paul Howes, the secretary of the right-wing union AWU. Perhaps you could describe Paul Howes as Australia's most important trade union leader. Let's have a listen to him last night.
We have to look at what's in the best interest of our members of our union to ensure that fairness remains in our members' workplaces, and we think that Julia Gillard is the best option to lead Labor to victory at the upcoming election. Tonight's events are about ensuring that Labor gets its message through, that we're able to talk about the accomplishments of this government and why we need to ensure that we continue on the mission that we started 3 years ago to restore fairness to our workplaces, to keep our economy strong, to have a fair redistribution of the massive wealth that's being generated through the mining industry. And Unfortunately, that message has been lost.
And that's the message, Alison, that message delivered there from Paul Howes, the union leader, that they do this reluctantly, but they feel that all Labor's good work is going to be lost because they can't get a message out, the Prime Minister can't sell it. There's a lot of policy implications for this leadership change. I think we'll come back to that. We'll talk to you in a little while. It's Alison Carabine, our political editor. It's 18 past six on RM Breakfast.